When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Talking Transfers from the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined today by 90 Min's transfer correspondent, Graham Bailey. And 90 Min's transfer correspondent, Graham Bailey, only it is the two of us today, Graham. The transfer window has closed. And, well, not everywhere, but in England and across Europe, the window has closed. So is there some downtime that we're getting now, or is it still... It's not as busy as it ever is it? But still things going on, rumblings.
Yeah, I quite like this time because it gives you a chance to really chase up, have a long dive into stuff, you know, really chase things up, pull at threads where during, especially in August, you don't have time to be chasing stuff for a day and stuff because things have moved on. It really is. It's a different situation. But no, still busy. Stuff for January already beginning. Even the club's already lining stuff up for then. So it's never ending, which is good. No, but get a chance to catch up with a few contacts who maybe have fallen by the wayside in the last few weeks of August. So yeah, no, I like it. I enjoy it. It's just different, which is good. It's all transfer, but slightly different, which I enjoy.
There's a couple of major stories we'll talk about today around Mohamed Salah's immediate future. As we alluded to last week, there might be another bid coming, which will potentially break a world record. World record transfer fee that is still held by Neymar after he moved to PSG from Barcelona. He's since moved on, obviously, this summer as well. And also, top of the show, we'll talk Jadon Sancho because Man United not only lost at the weekend, but they... They're never too far away from a crisis, are they? This club.
No, they're not. Self-inflicted, once again. But yeah, when you have as I said, I wasn't having a go at United, but I, as you know, Scott, I thought they had a poor window throughout. I really did, and Amrabat might just save them. You know, if we haven't done grades and stuff, if we were handing out grades, I'd have given United a D. Amrabat may have taken them to a B-, maybe. Depends how he performs though as well. It's hard giving out grades, but on the base of it, I would have given United a poor one. But you know, if Haaland scores 10 goals between now and Christmas, hey, suddenly.
What did you think of him in his 25 minute run?
I thought it was okay. £70 million worth, probably not, but who does? I think it's up to Ten Hag to get the best out of him. I think he is capable. He's got a high ceiling. We know that. I feel sorry for the player because so much is going to be expected of him, where he should have been one of two, Scott, as we know. He should have been the younger one learning off an experienced campaigner. But who's he learning off? Anthony Martial?
No, he's there to replace him. I think you could see Martial. Anthony Martial might as well not have been on the pitch on Sunday. And I think the fact that Højlund even moved with any sort of purpose was just a massive uplift for the people who were watching it. Because we haven't seen that for a number of years, really. A player who can move like that obviously didn't contribute to the win. Might have if that goal wasn't, if Garnacho had timed his run by about a millisecond better than he did. We'll talk about Jadon Sancho at the top of the show. We'll also talk about who could leave United. Eric Bailly is left on Tuesday/Monday night. Finally, gone to Besiktas, Graham, is it?
Yeah, Turkish League coming to your rescue. So they're a bit like the new Pro League for United. Very happy to see them, aren't you? Taking a few. And yeah, may not be the only one. But yeah, Bailly went, he did the deal over here in England to be registered for Europe. strange ones because they're still in for a few others, including Nicolas Pepe, who they haven't quite done yet. But I think Bailly was probably slightly easier than some of the others. Let him out, get him signed in time. I think getting, obviously they wanted him registered for Europe, which you can do last stages, but hey, yeah, he'll be a fond farewell for me, Scott, no doubt.
Yeah, he was one of my favourite players to watch, just because he was box office entertainment for me. You never really knew what he was going to do. You probably don't want that out of your centre back.
It wasn't an absolute disaster, was he?
For his first few years, the injuries caught up with him, obviously, and that kind of derailed his career. But again, United gave him a new contract midway through his stay, I think, and then he didn't really... Kind of the case with Phil Jones, who's just left, actually. Gave him a contract, and then he barely ever really played again after that contract was signed. But, yep, United have finally got rid of Eric Bailly. Will they get rid of Anthony Martial, Donny van de Beek? And we will talk about, will they get rid of Jadon Sancho on the show as well? Will Al Ittihad sign Mohamed Salah before the deadline in Saudi Arabia on Thursday, the 7th of September? That is 2 days away as we speak. Spurs have sold some players to Turkey. Tanguy Ndombele, Davinson Sanchez both gone to Galatasaray. We'll talk Hugo Lloris as well. We'll talk, as Graham has mentioned, Nicolas Pepe. And a couple of notes on some PSG former players or current players. Sergio Ramos, who's joined Sevilla. And Marco Verratti will end the show with as well. Probably not as long a show as we're giving you usually, just because the window is closed and things are dying down. But please subscribe to the show anyway on all your major podcast platforms and follow us on social media as well at @_ScottSaunders and at @GrahamBailly. NightyMin.com for all the latest from us. NightyMin.com/talkingtransfers for all the latest transfer news and NightyMin_football on social media for NightyMin itself. So let's talk about Jadon Sancho, because Graham, we put a story together yesterday, as in Monday, outlining United's position on Jadon Sancho. But just for the benefit, I'm sure most people have seen this by now. Sancho was left out of the travelling squad to play Arsenal. Erik ten Hag was left, well, answered a question in a press conference about why he hadn't travelled, and he effectively said, the training performance has not met the standard. And Jadon Sancho posted a public response, labeling him or saying that he's been made a scapegoat and that his training performances, in his opinion, had been good throughout the week. Right, we'll talk about what could happen to Sancho in a second, Graham, in terms of will he be sold, will he be fined, will he be disciplined? But your reaction to the situation on the whole?
It was a bit surprising because I think he's actually been okay under Ten Hag in terms of their relationship. I hadn't heard much in the background. Obviously, we've heard about the interest previously in January, mainly from Dortmund wanting to take him, and United were happy to keep him. Clearly, this summer, things haven't gone well. I think Sancho's badly advised, real poor on his part, you know, just dig in.
Do you think he will have even been advised on that? To me, it seemed a little bit like, I've got my phone here, I'm emotional and I've not really thought about this, and I'm just going to post it.
Quite possibly, yeah, quite possibly. And actually, that's better for him if it is that way. If he has been advised to do it, then yeah, that's not the way. So yeah, quite possibly, Scott, because it's not good. And It doesn't come over well in him, you know, in terms of his international future as well. You know, you just got to dig in. You got to come back to it, you know. You got to really work hard. And you know, he's not near the first team at the moment, but there's only Anthony in front of him, really. You know, if Sancho comes back flying, he's not a million miles away from the team. He hasn't got three or four in front of him. And Anthony's working really hard. He's not pulling up trees, as we know, Scott. He's not really living up to his price tag. A pair of them aren't living up to the price tags. But Sancho just needs to get his head on. And you know, an on-form flying Jadon Sancho would be in the England squad for the Euros. He's a million miles away from that at the moment. He needs to think about that. With that being said, will he look for a move elsewhere? No, it's our understanding, Scott, isn't it, that he's not going to get this move. And I don't really think he's pushing for it, to be honest.
Well, he also said in his statement he wants to work hard for... He wants to succeed at the club as well. He did end the statement
with
that.
I think they'll have talks this week. I would foresee it being clear the air talks, how it will be described by the club. That's going to come in the next 48 hours, we're told. We're expecting that. I think they'll clear the air, and that sometimes that's what it needs. He might kick on from here, Scott. It might be a really good thing for him. You know, obviously he's seen Mason Greenwood depart. I think he was a friends with him, but Rashford stayed committed. So yeah, he's got friends at the club. I don't think he's on his own on an island by any stretch of imagination. So you know, it's frustrating. There's a fantastic player in there as well, and he's still young. I think, you know, I must admit, I still prefer Jadon Sancho to Antony. I think both of them on top.
I think that's a fair argument to make. And yeah. Jadon Sancho is completely entitled to feel like that. If he does feel like that, I think the issue is really the way that he responded to it. Let me just ask you and your opinion, should Ten Hag have said anything?
Yeah, that is, he didn't have to say it like that. But I guess if this has been brewing for weeks and weeks, no, Scott, if he's been telling Sancho, saying, look, step it up. And if he's had Steve McLaren or Benny McCarthy on at him saying, look, come on, step up. And if he hasn't done it, this might have been the straw that broke the camel's back. We don't know that. I think that is probably where it's coming from, Scott. I don't think it's been overnight. It's been coming for the whole season. And Ten Hag has just told it as it is. And that's what the fans, as you as fans, want to hear that. And that quite, in some ways, you could. It might be a positive, all this, as I said, Scott, to see Sancho reacting like this. Well, yeah, it's good. He is reacting. He's passionate. He wants to play. That's good. Ten Hag's put his cards on the table and saying it. I think we're quick to jump on these things. It's all negatives, and has he stopped following United on Instagram yet? He hasn't quite got to that point yet. I think this could be a real positive for Jadon Sancho and Ten Hag. I think they wipe the slate clean. You know, he hasn't brought in the kudoses of this world, so he hasn't brought over replacements. And I said, he's not a million miles from his first team. If he's on his game, he's going to play. And so I think he just needs to get his head down to January. And because I do think there's places in the England squad available. And we know Sancho's a player Gareth Southgate likes. So he's got everything to fight for here, Scott. And I think he will. And I think he'll be a positive for United. I think and Sancho needs to take it as that. But the next few weeks will be key.
Yeah, I think Sancho has made it known in his opinion. He feels like he's trained well. I think that's what he said. But the person's decision, or the person who makes that decision, is not Jadon Sancho, it's Erik ten Hag. And if he feels like he's not training well enough to put himself in the team and in the squad, in his opinion, in what his ideals are for the team, then the only person that really matters in that situation, the opinion that matters, is the manager's opinion. So, anyway, Sancho, we talked there. We have put a report out, Graham, about Jadon Sancho. You mentioned Borussia Dortmund's interest in as far back as January. Is it fair to say that United, given they had to sign Sofyan Amrabat on loan in the final days of the window, is it fair to say that had United received solid interest from a club who could take the huge wage that Sancho is on, in addition to a transfer fee, they might have considered selling him?
Yeah, but I think that's a lot. I think there's only so many unsellable assets at Old Trafford, from maybe a Bruno, Casemiro, Rashford. I think there's only four or five who, if they get a good offer for. But that's just, to be fair to most clubs around the world, that's the case, isn't it, Scott? Where if you get a good, everyone's got a value. As we're seeing, we'll talk about Mo Salah in a minute. Every player has his value at every club. We've seen that. Sancho's one who Ten Hag likes, but you know, we've seen the interest from Dortmund in January. He's on a lot of money. They paid a lot of money for him. So he's not pushing for it. We know there's a number of Turkish clubs who've inquired. Why wouldn't you? You'd ask the question, can we get him on this wage a bit? Would get in the way of this. Don't get me, I think if Sancho, if in their meetings, we're perceiving that they'll clear the air. If he says, look, I want out, don't rule out a Saudi and Turkish move this week. But that's all on Sancho. I don't think United are pushing him out the door. But if he demands it this week in these meetings, hey, it could happen, Scott. You know, we don't know their personal relationship. I don't think it will, but it could. Then, yeah, it's a possibility. But no, I think his advisor will be telling him, look, wait till January. If it's still the situation, there's going to be a lot more options available in January. Possibly back to Dortmund could be one of them, because we know Dortmund love him. He loved it at Dortmund. But yeah, obviously the hope is, from United's point of view, that he'll be back in the team by that point.
So we mentioned as well, Eric Bailly has left the club. Anthony Martial, somehow it looks like he's even fallen a level from where he was last season in the early weeks of the season.
Yeah, I think you're disappointed there, Scott. When all this Saudi Arabia stuff was kicking off, you had printed out Martial's ticket for him, weren't you, to Saudi? What a huge flop he's been, hasn't he, really, from the moment he signed. But interestingly,
he had a good first few years. He really did. He looked like he could become, I'm not saying as good as United had hoped he'd become, but at least he had a bit of speed and trickery about him.
There was a bit of overpayment at the time, wasn't there? Which I think, again, shows when you overpay for a player, which I think they did at the time, it plows so much pressure. We're talking about Højlund as well, where he's a good player. We know
you
he's
can
not
even
worth...
look at Moises Caicedo start at Chelsea, Graham.
Yeah, like... it intensifies the pressure, doesn't it? It's a magnifying glass on every performance. It does pile the pressure on. And Martial, the thing with Martial is that he's out of contract, I believe, in 2024.
I think it's next year, yeah. Well, I think United have an option on his deal. Yeah. But yes, are they really going to take that?
Hey, at this point, Scott, can you rule them out taking that? This is Manchester United we're talking about. The way they've dealt with the likes of Maguire, De Gea recently, everything, and it's the same people in charge. God knows what they're going to do. We don't see them taking up the option, but if they get wind in December that he's signing a pre-contract with someone and they go, oh, no, you're not. We're going to keep you for an extra year. I wouldn't, with this current Man United hierarchy, which, hey, will it be the current hierarchy in December, Scott? We don't know. That's a big thing as well.
They will be here forever, Graham.
I think Martial is happy to wait till January where he can look at his options. And the Saudi things, why move to Saudi now where you can do it in January or indeed in next summer? Potential free transfer, it'd be 28 by that point. It'd be the perfect Saudi sign next summer, won't he? Not that he probably isn't now, he probably is now as well.
So make it unlikely for him to leave now, but obviously, as we just alluded to,
you'd be left too short. You'd be left,
totally.
I know he doesn't contribute too much, but you'd be left very short.
I mean, he is still a body there to sit on the bench when he isn't injured.
He literally started for Arsenal, didn't he? So,
yeah.
When Sancho's not there as well.
Yeah, but Martial likely to stay for now. This is an opinion, but I would be absolutely flabbergasted if United extended the deal with the terms that he's on, because it's proven over the last few...
They took your breath away before, Scott.
Well, they have, yeah. So, can't rule anything out.
Not in a good way, but yeah. They haven't done it in a good way for quite a while, but yeah.
No. What about Donny, Graham?
It's a strange one. I think he's one. We know Ten Hag likes him. He's worked there. I think he's one who can get game time. My understanding is he's a bit frustrated that Solskjaer move didn't come off. Which was, again, United, like, we're the truth of some of these players. And yeah, I know these players signed the contracts, but if you're making them available, like the Maguires and etc., like, there's got to be a bit of give and take. I get it from United's point of view, if they don't want to be a walkover and no one, you can't just come to us and demand a free transfer, but there's a chance he goes to Turkey. There is interest there, Scott. Saudi's not in his wheelhouse. I was surprised that Ajax didn't come for him, to be honest, especially with David Klaassen moving on the last day, Scott. I thought, ooh, does that free up Van der Beek? I could see Van der Beek to Ajax in January, personally. I think when they get a bit further. So, I'm surprised he didn't go to Ajax. Even PSV and Feyenoord, you know, with their Champions League experience, he would have fitted there. So, do I see him in Turkey? Possibly. But I don't think he's one who, if he was in the squad and stayed, I don't think Ten Hag would be too disappointed because he clearly likes him. He's not a bad figure in the squad, is he? He's not a bad egg, as we say. So I don't think it's an absolute disaster for Donny van de Beek.
Yeah, Ten Hag has said, even when I think it was after the Tottenham game, that he was looking at a move elsewhere. I know van de Beek said publicly in pre-season as well he was looking at options and he might leave. It's not happened yet, but one player who has left is Mason Greenwood. We've seen they're making a big deal of it. Hetafe are putting videos and photos on social media of his introduction there. I mean, it looks like he'll be back soon, Graham.
Yeah, so they should. You know, obviously, we're a footballing podcast. We're here to judge in that manner, are we? He's cleared. He's free to play. How long did he out the game off the pitch, Scott? How was he off long off the pitch? For 18 months?
January 2022.
Yeah, oh, I remember. Yeah. Just as we knocked out the FA Cup, I remember all too well. Yeah, my son's first away game. What a game! It's a great move for him. Was going to get done. I think going to Madrid, lovely city, but one of the smaller teams. And he is one of the best young forwards in world football, Scott. That talent hasn't gone anywhere. It looks like he's kept himself in shape. You know, he hasn't let himself go. He could go there. He could blow the La Liga apart. You know how good he is, Scott, as well. The bonus is he's on loan, Scott. You know, it's going to be fascinating to see the Man United fan reaction.
I mean, I know what the fan reaction will be. I think a lot of people can see this happen. A lot of people can see this already, that United
15 goals by Christmas.
Well, no, I think United are looking at this and they're thinking, we'll send him out on loan with a break clause and then we can potentially integrate him back in if we need him. And that is not going to go down well, Graham. But I think people know, and they...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I think Old Trafford,
it's a hard sell to Old Trafford. I think I could see him back in England, but as you know, I think a lot of water under the bridge at Old Trafford now. It's going to be fascinating with the new owners as well, Scott, isn't it? Because they'll have a bit. If that's a big if, isn't it? If we get new owners at Old Trafford, they will have a big say in it. It's going to be fascinating to see Mason Greenwood, how he settles in. Is he the Mason Greenwood? I said he could light La Liga up. He really could. And he should do. It's no matter what we think of the situation, it's going to be a fascinating look. If he goes there and scores 20 goals this season, we're going to be talking a lot more about him in the coming months.
We'll be talking a lot about Mohamed Salah for the coming days, I think, just to transition on to the Liverpool side of things. Liverpool have turned down an offer for Mohamed Salah in the last week or so. Worth around £150 million all in. We reported last week that they were prepared to break a world record transfer. We are 2 days away, Graham, from the Saudi transfer window closing. Is that bid going to come? And how big is it going to be?
Talks are continuing. You know, the first offer was a verbal one, and talks have been ongoing. You know, I'm being told from sources that Al Ittihad, if they didn't think there was a chance here, they wouldn't be trying. Bit like the Bayern Munich Palini situation, there was a real chance it didn't get happen, but there was a chink of light there. And they think there is not a green light from FSG, but you know, the door isn't completely shut on this. And it's our belief that the player wants to go, he wants to move. He's an absolute megastar in Arab football. And yeah, Al Ittihad are not letting this go. They're desperate to get it done. And it's not, the fee isn't really an issue. That sounds silly, Scott, because they're willing to pay whatever it takes. They're just waiting for FSG green light to say, and the term's not a problem with Mo Salah. He's going to be the highest paid player in world football. I understand he's going to surpass or level Ronaldo's earnings at Al Nassr. That's not going to be an issue. I don't think it is about money for Mo Salah. It is about going to Saudi Arabia, representing that Arab league. Like we don't really get how big a figure he is in that part of the world, Scott. He really is the player. He really is that pin-up boy for all of Arab football and the Muslim community. He really is. And I just think the coming days are going to be key. Klopp's obviously saying the right things. He's saying what Liverpool fans want to hear, I believe. But I think there's a section of Liverpool fans, Scott, who realise this amount of money for a 31-year-old who, yeah, he is at the top of the game. We can say that he's playing brilliantly. Liverpool can cope. Can Liverpool cope without him? Quite possibly. They obviously can't sign a replacement in between. Would they anyway?
Can they get through 6 months and be okay?
You know? I think they can because they've already got that squad depth, and we don't doubt it. But yeah, we'll see where we go up until Thursday. And it's interesting, this deadline, the Saudi Pro League confirmed the 7th. There is a suspicion, though, that, you know, FIFA still have it registered as the 20th. If the Pro League were inclined, they can sign players after this date. I'm told that from a number of English clubs. They fear that if a Saudi club will get an injury, they can come and raid the Premier League again. The Saudi Pro League are insisting, so I take their word for it, they're 7th. But FIFA have them up until the 20th. So keep an eye on that. It's an interesting one, Scott. Where will the Salah situation be finished by Thursday? Let's see. No, they might get an extra few days, but we have to see. This is all in FSG now. It's in the ball is in their court.
Is Liverpool's public position? Like, I'm not saying they're not.
Yeah.
You know, telling the truth. I'm sure that they don't want to sell, but it's a different prospect when you do receive that bid, which would be a world record. And yes, Liverpool would suffer for 6 months, but you think of the next 6 years.
Yeah, I think it's a thing. You know, I think it's a real thing. And I think when that offer does come in, I think will be a world record. Scott, we were looking where we so 220 million euros is the current record, isn't it, for Neymar?
And 222 million euros was at the time, £200 million.
Yeah, it's a bit different now. Yeah, we were looking where we did that 190, but yeah, I think the offer will be over £200 million. That'll come in once that's on the table. Alistair said it's coming. They said it's there. They said it's there. No, if you say we want that, then doing it. We'll see what FSG say. Is it the ball's in their court? If they stick by this and say no, and we haven't got an indication yet, because when we heard FSG, it's all Jurgen Klopp, isn't it, at the moment? So he's made his position clear that he doesn't want to sell. But there's a get out there for Klopp as well, isn't there, Scott? You know, if they get a world record fee, then he can come out and say, look, world record fee for 31-year-old. No one's going to blame Jurgen Klopp either. No one's going to say, oh, well, you said this last week. I think in this case, for that money, I think there's a get out for him there as well, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, it depends, really. I know Klopp's position on it has publicly been that he doesn't want that to happen. But like I say, when you're faced with it in reality, yeah, it might make you think twice. Just for the good of, like, the club itself. I mean, yes, I suppose the counter argument is that if they're offering this much money now, wait a year, and will the money be too much different?
Mm. Yeah.
If they want him as much as they say that they do, or would you be prepared to take 50 million less in a year's time if it means that you keep Salah? Or, you know, I think a lot of Liverpool fans, and maybe Liverpool fans who listen to this pod, maybe they think it's inevitable that it will happen at some point, but is it the wrong time?
Yeah, because it was as we reported on the pod and on 90 Min already, Scott, we said from months and months ago that Pogba and Salah were their number one targets, number one Muslim footballers in the world, the best Muslim footballers. They want to be the figureheads of this Pro League. It's only because they've got an inkling or something's happened behind the scenes that Al Ittihad think it can be done. So that's where this has come from in the first place. We know friends of Mo Salah have told us on 90 Min he's not that happy about what's gone on recently at the club, missing out on the captaincy. That was a big thing for him. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. And as we're sitting here next week, Scott, it's looking likely he'll stay, but I wouldn't put any serious money on him not going, Scott. I really wouldn't.
Talking of players who are going or have gone, Spurs have managed to offload some players over the last 24 hours. Tanguy Ndombele and Davinson Sanchez have both left for Galatasaray, I believe. So, inevitably, in a few weeks' time, you'll see Ndombele turn up at Old Trafford and score a goal in the Champions League. I'm sure of it. But yes, Ndombele is on a loan, I believe, Graham, with an option, and Davinson Sanchez is a permanent around 7 million.
Yeah, that's right. The two clubs are actually arguing over how much it was. I think I suppose they're saying 15 million euros, but Galatasaray near 9, which is always the case. I imagine that happens quite a lot in this FFP-driven climate as we're in. Yeah, Sanchez is an interesting one. You know, he was available throughout. He had a lot of talks with French clubs and the Gymnasium, but reason they're pushing him out is because they signed Ashley Phillips from Blackburn with the intent on loaning him, but he impressed that much. And I saw him at Blackburn, very, very good young player, outstanding, 18. There's a future England national there, Scott. He really is a good player. There was a clause in his contract which allowed, I believe, allowed him to get out of Blackburn for a lot cheaper than his actual worth. And he was on the bench. I was at Burnley Saturday. He was on the bench on Saturday. And so that's why Sanchez, I think, is really knows he's not in the mix there. And then Ndombele, getting him out, yeah.
Yeah, great. We talk about like transfer fees putting pressure on players. I was looking at this yesterday. I think Davinson Sanchez cost £42 million and Ndombele cost £63 million.
Yeah.
For Tottenham.
100 million, yeah.
Mad. It's a lot. Absolutely it crazy.
And it's one of those, I bet, from a Man United point of view, that Tottenham, they get away with it quite. Some clubs get away with it, don't they? Probably because Tottenham, would they ever... There were title contenders under Poch for a little bit, but, you know, those players were signed. And Ndombele is a strange one, isn't he? When Tottenham got him, everyone forgets. When Tottenham got him, he was like the most wanted player in Europe when they got him. Yeah. Spectacularly bad spell. And it's not just at Tottenham, he's gone downhill. But let's see what he can do in Turkey, Galatasaray. But this Turkish league, they're splashing. They're making an awful lot of signs in the Premier League. They are really hoovering up some real... out of favour Premier League players.
The ones who are on money that is difficult to shift, yeah.
Yeah, they really are. But yeah, neither will be a huge loss. Sanchez, I always thought he was okay, but yeah, he never lived up to that price tag.
So just on Tottenham, what of Hugo Lloris? Odd situation there, because they've signed a replacement. Vicario is firmly the number one, and Lloris, everybody expected him to leave. Mm. But he hasn't yet, will he?
I don't think he will at this point. Tottenham don't think he will. Tottenham think he's staying until January. Again, I saw Vicario on Saturday. Looked okay. I'm still not 100% convinced by him, Scott, if I'm being honest. If you tell me now that Hugo Lloris might be in goal for Tottenham by January, I wouldn't be hugely shocked. But, yeah, he turned down Newcastle. Newcastle came for him, actually. They were looking for some a body to help out with them for the Champions League coming up and experience campaign like him, but he's never going to go and sit on the bench in the North East, is he, for a year? But then his former club, Nice, who released Kasper Schmeichel, also made him an offer. That's his hometown club. And he rejected that as well. I know for a fact that Tottenham found that a bit mystifying, for want of a better phrase. And they thought he was going. And but not trying to force him at the club. They've been looking for scenarios and situations for him to go. So it's going to say they would have liked to have got his wages off the account, Scott. But I don't think that they won't be too upset because he's a good player, he's a good character. Vicario can learn from him as well. So yeah, it looks like he might stay till January.
Across North London, Arsenal. These two teams play each other in the not the next round of the Premier League, but the one after that. It should be a decent game with Tottenham looking free-flowing at the start of the season. Nicolas Pepe at Arsenal, is he going to leave? Another example of an expensive signing who hasn't worked out.
Yes, yeah, £72 million worth. He was a record signing up until Declan Rice signed, probably, I imagine.
Can't be far off.
It just didn't work out for him. As you talked about earlier in the pod, Scott, this price tag does weigh heavily on some players. He was a player who Arsenal wanted at the time. He's a player who Arsenal needed at the time. He was a good player. He always seemed a bit overpriced, but still not massively. But it just didn't work out for him. I thought he's decent. He's 28 now. Surprised me. Find out, Scott, he's on £250,000 a week, Nicolas Pepe, at Arsenal. He's one of their highest paid players. So getting him off the bill, you know, Besiktas are paying a nominal fee. And I'm told, actually, that Pepe is taking a big pay cut here just to get out, just to go. So he's made an awful lot of money. So he wants to play football, the Ivorian. So, he's going to be following his fellow Ivorian, Eric Bailly, to Besiktas. So they'll see a few months of him before they both head off to the African nations, which we shouldn't forget is next year.
Yeah,
but yeah, but Pepe, he's undergone a medical. It's very close to being done. Everything's on board. He wanted to stay in Europe as well, Nicolas Pepe. He did have interest from Saudi, but he wanted to stay in Europe and play. I think they're in the Conference League, aren't they, Besiktas? But obviously, he might not be registered in time for that this year. Might have to wait till January, New Year. But yeah, he wants to play regular football, and he should get that chance with Besiktas.
Just speaking of, it seems like the only real notable transfer windows that are still open are Saudi Arabia and Turkey currently.
Greece as well. Don't forget Greece.
Greece as well. Fair enough.
Daniel Podence just going to sign.
From Wolves, yeah.
Having signed a new contract at Wolves as well, Scott. They never sit right, those loan deals, did they? Where someone's clearly
it's been quite common lately as well.
You maintain the value, and that's just the system that the clubs work to. So it's commonplace.
Do you want? I often think in a lot of cases, do you want to maintain the value? Because are you just going to be maintaining a value that you can't extract?
I think it's a gamble. The gamble of the take. So in Podence's case, they're hoping he goes there as 20 goal contributions, and suddenly the value goes up. João Félix at Atletico Madrid and Barca. Similar situation. Atletico hoping he goes to Barca, is the best player in La Liga, and suddenly they might get the money back for him.
We talk about transfer windows that are open. Arsenal have had some interest in. I know you're pretty well versed in this story. Betello, young Brazilian, interest from elsewhere. Arsenal have not got him. Who could? Will he?
Yeah, you'd better read about this in a piece today. He's a player we know Edu liked. I think he had other things on the agenda, but he still likes him a lot. I think it's one to watch for January if he doesn't go elsewhere, because it's our understanding there is interest from Turkey and Saudi Arabia in Betello, a player who came from not from nowhere, but really emerged as a real player, and obviously. Edu was on the ball with this. They rejected offers, we believe, from Feyenoord and Monaco during the window, official bids. But the manager, Renato, he's called, he revealed yesterday that he was left out the weekend's team. Talking about injuries. And then he actually prompted the press. It wasn't a question. He reminded the press that some transfer windows are still open. So he was dropping some real crumbs there to suggest that Betello might not have been playing because he is a target elsewhere. So it's one that I think Arsenal fans will follow for them on their behalf. We'll track this down and see where it's at. But yeah, they could. I'm surprised we haven't. And Joe Scott, I do wonder if this is the Saudis coming in here. I suspect, and this is something the Europe and the Premier League are fearing, that the Saudis start picking off very good Brazilian players straight from Brazilian league. So it'll be interesting to see who it is in for Betello. If it is the Saudis, need to keep an eye on that.
Let's round off with a couple of players who are either at PSG or have just left PSG. Let's do Marco Verratti to start with. What's the situation with him currently?
Yeah, well, one of the few leagues we haven't mentioned, Qatar. The Qatar window is still open, Scott. Al Arabi, yeah. Verratti's in the same camp as he was very good friends with Neymar and Messi, and we've seen quotes from Neymar in the last 48 hours, haven't we? Saying how good it was, but it turned poisonous in Paris, didn't it? And he had to get out. As we know, we talked about earlier in the summer, Verratti wasn't happy about the treatment of these guys, and I think he really does want out now. He had a real strong relationship with the fans as well, but. From what we've been told, I'm being told, Scott, Luis Enrique wants to keep him. He doesn't want to lose Verratti. He thinks he's really important. I think the ball's in Verratti's camp now. If he really pushes for Al Arabi, I think he will go, and they're willing to pay around $50 million for him. So that's probably about right for PSG, what they want. PSG, for their part, not really standing his way, but next few days will be key for this. I think Enrique's talked to him over the weekend. There's some quotes come out from Luis Enrique saying it's going to stay private as to what we talked about. But clearly he's a player he likes. He wants him. And yeah, I think next few days will be really telling for this. Luis Enrique wants to stay, but it's up to Verratti now. If he really, really wants out, I think he'll get his move. But we'll see what he wants to do in the coming days.
Let's finish with a relatively nice story, I suppose. Sergio Ramos has left PSG. And a sign for a new club, he had interest, or is it right to say that he was offered to the likes of Manchester United, Chelsea, Bayern Munich? I'm sure there was an option on the table potentially for him to go to and take the money. But he's ended up back at Sevilla where it all began. So slightly, that's a nice end to the show.
It is. Al Ittihad made him an offer, turned down Saudi. Yeah, he was offered, I think this was a few weeks ago now, but you could see it, couldn't you? Maybe if he, you know, if Maguire had left, United needed someone, you could see him as a short-term option.
I mean, I'm surprised that United signed Johnny Evans over Sergio Ramos.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, there we go. interesting. But I think Ramos as well in his old days could have played right back, wouldn't he? He started at right back, didn't he, Ramos?
He did, yeah, he did.
Everyone forgets that. Yeah, and Bayern, obviously, they didn't get the defender in that they wanted. I could have seen him at Bayern. You know, I could have seen Bayern filling that role. And Chelsea, obviously, everyone gets offered to Chelsea, as we know. They're interested in everyone. So it's not surprising to see he was offered there, but he didn't want to hang around, really. And so this offer comes from Seville. Victor Orta getting the deal done. Now he's in charge at Seville. Yeah, and that is a nice storyline. Someone not really following the money for once. But then, to be fair, Sergio Ramos, after his PSG spell, probably doesn't need to follow the money too much.
That is a very good point, actually. Yeah. Good point to finish on. But yeah, that's it from us. I think, as it stands, I think we'll go weekly for now, unless something significant happens. Maybe we'll jump on later on in the week.
If that world record transfer happens, maybe. Yeah, it might be worthwhile, one, if a Brit. Maybe.
But yeah, I think we're going to just through the weeks ahead, maybe just drop back to once a week, given it's going to slow down a little bit. I'm sure there's clubs out there who are planning for January and planning for next summer, looking at the squad that they have, try maybe planning ahead for what they want to do in the future transfer windows to come. But yes, that's from me and Graham talking transfers. Please subscribe on all your major podcast platforms and follow us on social media as well at @_ScottSaunders, @GrahamBailey. And follow us on or visit nightymin.com and nightymin.com/talkingtransfers for all the latest transfer news, which will inevitably continue. We will maybe reevaluate our position and have a wider look and maybe try and dig into some stories about what clubs are planning on for the future, if not the immediate future, maybe the short to longer term future, and at @nightymin_football for all the latest on our social media channels as well. Graham, thank you very much as ever for your presence on the podcast, and I've been Scott. Thanks everyone for listening to another Talking Transfers. We'll see you soon, everyone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.